hello, hello, and welcome to the first episode of Fandom Fiends. We are a podcast, two girls sitting on a couch just watching and reviewing and commenting on some TV and or movies. Basically, the premise is that one of us is what we're calling the fandom fiend, or like the super fan of a show or movie, and the other one is deemed as the fandom fool, aka someone who either has not seen the show and hasn't heard of it, or hasn't seen it but heard of it. My name is Kripa, and I'm one of your co-hosts.
And my name is Nisha, and I'm the other co-host. So, we figured since Bridgerton is coming out pretty soon, next month in fact, we would start off with that. So, I have not seen Bridgerton yet, so I am going to be the fandom fool, and Kripa here is going to be the fandom fiend.
We should mention that you have heard of Bridgerton before.
Oh, right.
And you've seen clips because I've shown you various clips, but she has not, like, watched either season fully through.
Yeah, I think when it first came out, I saw part of the first episode or one, like, middle of some random episode in season one, and I, like, got bored and I never watched it. But now, we've just finished the first episode of the first season.
And we're gonna discuss our thoughts. I've watched this many times over, so I'm interested to hear what you think of the first episode.
So, I wasn't bored.
Very good. Very good.
It was definitely entertaining. There were so many moments of, like, people making, like, sly comments or, like, whatever, and sassy kind of whatever things like that. So that was pretty funny. Also, the costumes and stuff is very pretty to look at, which I knew before the costumes would be cool, but, you know, just watching it is also cool.
I mean, that's definitely part of the appeal, just, like, the prettiness of everything.
And the covers, the music covers, like the instrumental ones, that is cool. It's almost kind of moderny, but it's like not.
I mean, it is, because what was that one song that you had stuck in your head?
It's still stuck in my head. Girls Like Us, or Girls Like You.
That, and when I first watched it, I immediately, and I think this was, well, it's interesting because if you watch it with subtitles, the subtitles will like spoil the song that's being played. But the first time I watched it, I didn't watch it with subtitles, and I immediately caught on to, like, Thank You, Next.
That was a good one. So, also, Kripa initially gave me, like, a very basic premise of the season, like, very vaguely.
You should, like, because I don't want to have to, like, rehash it and or give things away, so you should tell the audience what you remember me telling you.
All I really remember is that you, so, I remembered that Daphne is, like, someone. And I thought the guy's name was Sam, but I guess it's Simon, but whatever. I mean, so basically what Kribble told me is that there's some kind of fake dating thing, but also like, oh, it becomes real. Oh, ha ha.
All the tropes.
Yeah. And then there was some kind of thing with Simon didn't want to like have a family because of some kind of mysterious backstory or something. But Daphne wants a family or something. And then somehow something.
I like didn't want to, I mean, for those of you who've already obviously like watched it, I didn't want to give away everything, but just to kind of give like a vague description.
And it was vague enough and intriguing enough for me to be like, oh, okay, you know, sure.
So what are your thoughts, I guess, on like the characters? So let's just start with like Daphne, the diamond.
So, I mean, I don't really have like a strong opinion on anyone, you know, yet, I guess. I mean, she seems cool. I literally didn't, like, know. I wasn't really expecting anything specifically from her character other than, oh, eventually wants family or something. So it was interesting whenever she was like, oh, like, you'll never understand what it is to be a woman and I'll have no value without husband and all that stuff. So that was, you know, cool.
I guess maybe that was, like, a bad question to ask. So I know you mentioned that, like, there was a lot of like sly quips here and there that like you weren't expecting. I guess like what is the thing that surprised you the most about this episode, and or what questions do you have going forward into the second episode?
So I'd say what surprised me most was actually Antony being so prominent, because I also knew in season two that it's like him and Kate or whatever is like the focus. And obviously I figured like he would be here somehow, but I didn't know he'd be so in the story like immediately. So that was interesting. And his sideburns are entertaining.
The mutton chops.
Yeah, I'd say that. And then also just because of being in the vicinity of Kripa, I'm aware that season three is like Colin and Penelope and whatever, it's like their focus. And they're already starting out with like the looks of like pining and oh my god, Penelope just like looking at Colin, and then he's like there. So that was interesting. I also didn't know that would literally be in like the first episode. And I find Lady Danbury / Lady Whistledown entertaining as well. Especially whenever she and, what's her name, Mother Bridgerton?
Violet?
Oh, right. Are in the opera box or whatever. And then she's just like trashing Lady Whistledown, and Lady Danbury's just like,
Yeah.
Except obviously she said things, but you know. Also, whenever Daphne and Simon bumped into each other at the ball, that was entertaining as well, because as soon as she was like, oh, I'll get lemonade or whatever she said.
Yeah.
Was like out loud. I was like, oh, so she's going to somehow bump into Simon as he's escaping the like fangirls or whatever.
Mamas.
The mamas. Yeah. Yeah. So I figured he would be escaping and she would be like trying to get lemonade, and then they'd like somehow bump into each other. But I didn't see the like other suitor guy.
Yeah, Lord Nigel Burbrook.
Lord Nigel Burbrook.
Yes.
Yeah. He's interesting. He was good at, like, portraying this kind of undesirable kind of suitor.
Yeah, the actor. He did, like, a really good job.
Yeah. Also, this makes a lot of sense if you think about it for, like, more than 30 seconds, I guess. But the term gentleman caller, I was like, oh, they're literally gentlemen who are, like, calling or whatever, coming to call.
Yeah.
Wow, it's all coming together. Also, the first episode title was, what, Diamond of the Water?
Yeah, I think something close to that, if not that.
One of the Bridgerton candles is called Diamond of the Season. And so I was like, oh my god, wow, a diamond, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Should add, I guess, for people who aren't in the know, for the third season, Bath and Body Works had this Bridgerton collab. And so they came out with like five different candles and various like other body products. And the Diamond of the Season candle, I think, is the one that had like the full range of like candle plus like body products. And so me being like a Bridgerton shill, I was like, all right, gotta go buy the candles. And so then I kind of dragged Nisha along with me, and now she has.
Now I have candles. Yeah. I have, three of the Bridgerton actual candles and two of the wall plugins.
And the soaps too.
Oh yeah, and soap as well. Yeah. And like the crown candle holder, very pretty.
Yeah. Okay, just one thing I wanted to add. Since we've heard your thoughts, I guess I can only really speak to my thoughts. I mean, I've watched this I don't know how many times. It's kind of like one of those shows where if I have to like do some task, like a chore or something, it's like very easy to have like on in the background, because like once you've watched it enough times, like you don't.
And you read the books.
Yeah, and I read. Not all of them. I read the first six. I have the last two that I haven't read yet, but it'll be like way in the future until we get to that point. The only thing I wanted to add from my perspective was when I first watched the show, I had been a fan of like Jane Austen and had seen, you know, like all of the previous movies and series and stuff. And so, like you had mentioned, the costuming was definitely one of the things that caught my eye. But throughout the first episode when I was watching it, I was kind of just like, okay, like Regency this, Regency that. And it wasn't until that last scene with Daphne and Simon, the like we could form an attachment moment with like the dramatic music and the lights at like Vauxhall and like that thing. I remember my thoughts whenever I was watching the show, like over the Christmas break during the pandemic. That was the moment when I was truly like, oh, this show is going to be something like special, or at least like special to me, because I don't think I've seen like this level of like cinematography and music and like atmosphere in another like Jane Austen adaptation or just some kind of historical movie series show. I mean, do you have any opinion, I guess, towards like the end moment?
Yeah, I mean, the end moment was cool, and they did the thing where, you know, he proposes the idea of forming an attachment, but it's fake. And then you cut to them walking dramatically and he's still like talking, but, you know, they're like walking and people are looking at them and close-ups on their faces and everything. So, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, that moment was like very special in terms of like everything together. The dialogue. You're looking at me like I'm a crazy person, but I mean,
I'm not.
I'm a kind of person who's like really affected by powerful like music in a scene, and this was one of those moments where I was like, wow, it has like all of, you know, the stuff, but then you add the music and it's like, oh.
I forgot what music was playing. I still have Girls Like You stuck in my head.
That's
it's
okay.
Just overridden the ending song.
Well, maybe before we start the second episode, I'll just play that part again for Nisha to just like
properly appreciate.
Maybe, yeah. All right, let's like leave the first episode conversation there, because we got your first opinions and we shall see if they change as we watch more episodes. But yeah, so we're basically just gonna pause this podcast right now, watch the second episode, and get back to you with Nisha's thoughts and my commentary of her thoughts and reactions.
On to the next episode.
Be right back. Okay, so we are back after watching the second episode. Nisha, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was good.
Wow, so elaborate. Just so
end of episode
was conveyed with those three words.
Okay, well, that ending scene, damn.
That mysterious.
Especially when he was like, speak, or whatever. That was like, nice.
That mysterious backstory of Simon's.
Yes. See, I was just waiting for all the reveals of the mysterious and or tragic backstory and why the father sucked, which he totally did. Every scene, he was just like the worst. Like literally, this child was like 4 and he just like was berating him and like all this, you know, horrible parenting choices.
Oh yeah. And even just like the whole mother was useless. The whole birth scene.
The whole birth scene. She was literally just like dying and all he was like, is it a son? And then she just like died and only Lady Danbury was there. And literally she was like dying with Lady Danbury there and they were just like in the other room like celebrating and shit. Like what a contrast. Clearly priorities.
And like childbirth those days, like it's still scary to think about now, but then with like the lack of medicine and
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Maternal morbidity rates were pretty high.
They sure were.
And the doc had to use like forceps and everything too.
Ew. And all the blood, even before he was like, there's too much blood.
Yeah, it was very apparent.
It was interesting to see Simon's backstory, which makes sense, and why he was like, oh, the only vow like I'll make is the never like have an heir, which tracks with the vague summary that I remember that Kripa told me.
Simon doesn't want a family. Now you know the reason why.
His father fucking sucked.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Lady Danbury's a real one, though.
She is. I like her. She's cool.
Yeah.
She's one of my most enjoyed characters, probably, at the moment.
Aside from her, are there any other characters that are, like, growing on you or you find entertaining?
Simon, I guess. But that was because of the reveals and whatnot. So Nigel, you like, it's like a, you love to hate him. He was also not great. Especially the line when he was right before Simon just like decked him. He was like, oh, I don't, when I'm buying a horse, I don't ask the horse or whatever he said.
Oh yeah, total misogyny. It was funny. Dear audience, I suppose you would have not known this because we did not record while watching. But it was really funny because Nigel was saying all the stuff about like Simon's father, and literally like 2 seconds before Simon punched Nigel, you were like, deck it. Yeah. I was just waiting for it. Yeah.
He sure did deck him.
Yeah.
Deserved.
It took you a second too to get the whole the help and the servants.
Whenever they had the scene about Violet Bridgerton with the Queen having tea and whatever. And then they immediately cut to, like, inviting Lady Burbrook, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was then whenever they started like talking amongst like the housekeepers or whatever that I was like, oh, okay, like now I get it.
Yeah.
That was a nice detail.
And then just like a random aside before I forget, we were talking about that last ball, the music. I was telling Nisha that like I think one of the appeals for me of the show in general is that like, I mean, I love me a good like historical movie series or a period piece, but like the inclusion of like little things like modern music covers by like Vitamin String Quartet, etc., just it kind of like appeals to like a modern audience.
Yeah, that is a really good part of the show that I'm enjoying. And we turned off the subtitle, so yeah. Whenever they had that scene, you know, the last scene of the dancing and whatever, they were playing In My Blood. But yeah, I recognize it, and yet I didn't recognize it, and it was fun to try and figure it out, which I ultimately had to look up on Spotify.
I mean, how do you compare this to, like, the first episode? Sorry, I know that's, like, a very vague question. I have a couple of thoughts.
I mean, but more things, like, happened, I guess. Well, actually, did they even happen? I'm counting all the backstories happening, which I guess technically isn't. Well, from an audience like perspective, it is kind of. I mean, they finished off the Nigel stuff and that was satisfying because he sucked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't really know how much of this is valid because as I've said before, like I've watched this, I don't know how many times, but like at least when I was watching with you, I was like, because the whole concern about like, oh, were you going to get bored again? At least the first episode, like a lot has to happen and, you know, like enough to, you know, get audiences to be hooked onto the show. And so like I guess it's not even really a critique. It's just an observation and a worry for you is that like, I thought that this episode might have been slightly slower than the first episode and that I was like worried you were going to be like bored or something.
I think I was sufficiently taken in by hating Nigel and like, the father.
Yeah.
Hastings or whatever. So I didn't feel like it was like slow.
Okay. The other part of it too is like, and I mean, you also kind of like, oh, she has to marry Nigel Burbrook. Like, yeah, we know that like Daphne and Simon are gonna get together. So this is obviously like just an obstacle that they have to like go through.
Obviously, you know, she's not gonna marry Nigel. But, you know, the draw is to be like, how do they get rid of the obstacle and whatnot? So,
yeah. But I guess that's like why in my head I was like, oh, I can't wait till we get to some of the later episodes where like stuff is actually happening like between the couple as opposed to like these external obstacles like Nigel, which we know are never really going to pan out, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I just got caught up in how detestable he was.
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts on Antony now? Now that like, I suppose he's had some kind of comeuppance by discovering Nigel is a sorry shit.
It seemed like he came down, I guess. I mean, like in a good way. He had growth, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying earlier, like, oh, like it's my responsibility, it's my duty and stuff. But then he, you know, realized, oh, the mother, like, actually is still, she's the one who knows at the moment like what to do, responsibility and whatnot, and the forms it can take and everything. And then I think he finally realized he should at least consider what Daphne's actually saying. Because yeah, it took Simon saying whatever about Burbrook for him to be like, oh, you never look at my sister again, or whatever he said. Gotta love the growth.
Oh, and then I guess like it's kind of related to like what you had said about Antony in the first episode, that you weren't expecting them to like focus. Obviously he's not the primary focus, but you still like were kind of surprised at like how much they did focus on him. What are your thoughts on like the Eloise and Benedict scenes, or like Eloise just in general? Because we started out the episode with Eloise being like the university quote in the beginning of the episode. We have Eloise, you know, like wanting,
oh, and she said she wanted to go to university, or she thought she was capable of more, or whatever she said.
Yeah, because like in the same way that like Antony is like characterized as, you know, like, oh, head of the family, he had like the Sienna bit, like this episode we see like Eloise and like a little bit of Benedict too, like with Eloise. But any thoughts on Eloise as a character?
I mean, I vaguely remembered from seeing clips or something that she was kind of the like, oh no, marriage bad, you know, obviously like horribly paraphrasing. I guess that was kind of like expected in some way. I don't know. The Benedict scene was nice also because I didn't know who he was and I kept being like, who's that one?
Oh yeah, in the beginning you were like, at the beginning of the episode we paused because you were like, what's his name? What did you guess his name was?
James.
Yeah, and I was like, yo.
I got an E, right?
Ah, very close. But yeah, I was like, oh, you know, they're named in like alphabetical order. I also mentioned that like Francesca is MIA, I think.
Casting something, or the actress had actress to leave something.
Had some kind of like conflict in terms of,
right?
Yeah, but now she's recast and is going to be like they're going to focus more on her storyline in preparation for her eventual season, hopefully.
Also, going back to Eloise, I thought it was not like, I mean, I know they, the, I mean, the girls or women or whatever aren't like told specifically like, this is how you have a child. This is like impregnation or like, this is sex, blah, 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 you know? And how she was like, I thought you have to be married. It's just like stuff like that when I'm like, oh, she like wants to do all this stuff. But then you see like, oh, she doesn't like know things because obviously nobody like told her and stuff. And then also it's kind of funny in that scene whenever Penelope and what's her name? Marina?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, how did you get into your condition or whatever she said. And then Marina was like, it started with cake. And then she just like puts the cake down.
Yeah.
That was good.
Like you see on Penelope's face, like looking at the cake. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah. So that was an interesting aspect.
All right.
On to the next.
Yeah. Continue on to the next episode. Do you have any idea on like where the story is going from here or like any predictions?
Well, now I feel like, because of the focus on Simon's face watching Daphne dance with the suitors, he's clearly, I think they're probably going to go into more of his like inner conflict and thoughts about like, oh, actually Daphne's kind of cool, yay, but oh no, like can't have the family because of the vows and father being terrible, while at the same time Daphne is like, oh well, I guess, you know, this is still just a ruse and like she's like gotta find a husband who's not you, Simon. So I mean, yeah, basically I don't know. I just,
it's interesting, I guess, because I have so many thoughts in my head, but I don't want to say them because I don't want to give anything away. It's so hard. Like I'm trying to just, you know, like eventually once we're done with the season, I will comment.
All
on
shall
it.
Be revealed.
Yes. All shall be revealed. All right. So I think we're good to move on to the third episode of Bridgerton.
We'll catch up with all of you on the next episode of our podcast after we watch episodes 3 and 4.
Thank you all for listening. This has been another episode of Fandom Fiends. I'm Kripa.
And I'm Nisha.
Make sure to follow us on all the socials. We are FandomFiends_pod on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.